Hello, welcome back to another episode of the Dia Talks. This is me, your favorite host, Dia. Today we are going to dive deep into our topic that is dear and near to all our hearts, procrastination. We all deal with it and we are going to tackle it head on with simple and effective strategies. Before we begin, let me thank my dear listeners who tune into our podcast every Thursday to hear your weekly dose of self-improvement tips and my stories related to it. I post live updates regarding episodes and my daily life in my Instagram page, so you guys quickly go and follow my page there. I'll wait. Okay, the next task for you is to subscribe to my newsletter where I'll be sending you guys weekly updates and journals to improve your life and also freebies and discount codes. Okay, without further delay, let us start a class of how to overcome procrastination and my own simple strategies which you can adopt to start being productive. From now on, I want you guys to take up a notepad of your own whenever you people hear my voice and name the book as the Dia Talks University. On the first page is going to be our lesson, or if you wish to skip few pages for the previous podcast episode, that is a great news and congratulations, you are so serious about your self-improvement actions. Okay, first things first, let's get a handle on what procrastination really is. It is when you delay doing something that you should be doing right now. We often procrastinate because the task seems daunting, boring, or just too overwhelming. Back in my school days, I used to procrastinate a lot and I'll be like, I'll do this later this evening and then I still have time. I'll do this tomorrow. And then my works used to be piled up in one corner and got bad grades. Then at the end of my college days, I figured out few practices that can help me stop procrastinating and start being productive. The first method, it is recognizing procrastination triggers. Identify the task or situation that trigger your procrastination. Knowing your triggers is the first step towards conquering procrastination. Identifying the task or situation that trigger your procrastination is a crucial first step towards conquering this habit. Procrastination triggers can vary from person to person, but here are some common ones to help you get started on your journey to understanding and overcoming them. I hope the notepad is still with you, so get ready to note down. First one, task difficulty. You might procrastinate on tasks that seems challenging, complex, or unfamiliar. The fear of failure or feeling overwhelmed can be a trigger. Second one is a lack of interest. Tasks that you find boring, uninteresting, or not aligned with your passions and goals can easily become procrastination triggers. The third one is poor time management. If you have a habit of not managing your time effectively, you may put off tasks until the last time, which can lead to procrastination. The fourth one is the perfectionism. Striving for perfection can be a double-edged sword. While it can drive excellence, it can also cause procrastination when you're afraid that your work won't meet your high standards. The fifth one is the fear of rejection or criticism. Tasks that involve presenting your work to others, such as public speaking or sharing creative projects, can trigger procrastination due to the fear of criticisms or rejections. The sixth one is task monotony. Like repetitive or monotonous tasks can become procrastination triggers because they lack excitement or novelty. To identify your specific triggers, keep a procrastination journal. Whenever you catch yourself procrastinating, jot down the task, the circumstances, and your feelings at that moment. Over time, you will start to notice these patterns and recurring triggers. Once you've identified them, you can work on strategies to address each trigger and overcome procrastination more effectively. Remember, self-awareness is the key to make positive changes in your habits. Plus, I have something for you guys. Don't forget to subscribe to my newsletter where I send my subscribers weekly newsletters along with freebies like journals and self-improvement tasks and tips and everything. So I want you guys to subscribe to my newsletter where in this week I'll be sending you guys free procrastination journals along with a newsletter. So don't forget to subscribe to it and make your life way easier and overcome your procrastination. The second method is to visualize long-term benefits. Imagine how great you will feel when you have completed the task. visualizing the benefits can motivate you to start. Absolutely. Visualizing long-term benefits is a powerful tool to combat procrastination. When you can vividly picture the positive outcomes of completing a task, it becomes easier to find the motivation to get started. Here's a bit more detail on how to effectively visualize long-term benefits. The first one is to define your goals. Start by clearly defining your goals. What is the end result you want to achieve by completing this particular task? Whether it is finishing a project, achieving a fitness milestone, or even just cleaning your room. Having a specific goal in your mind is very crucial. The second one is to imagine the end result. Close your eyes and take a moment to imagine what your life will be like once you have accomplished your goal. Picture the positive changes and improvements that will come as a result. The third one is to embrace the emotions. It's not just about the visual aspects. It's also about the emotions associated with achieving your goal. How will you feel? Will you be proud, relieved, happy, or even excited? Embrace and amplify these positive emotions in your mental imagery. The fourth one is to create a vision board, also called the mood board. Consider creating a physical or digital vision board. Collect images, quotes, and reminders that represent your long-term goals. Having a visual representation can serve as a daily reminder on what you're working towards. The fifth one is to review your vision regularly. Take time each day or week to revisit your vision. Reflect on your goals and the benefits of achieving them. This practice can help you keep motivation high. Remember, the power of visualization lies in its ability to make your goals feel more attainable and real. By regularly picturing the long-term benefits of your actions, you can boost your motivation, overcome procrastination, and take significant steps towards achieving your goals. The third method is break tasks into smaller steps. Breaking tasks into smaller steps is a highly effective strategy for overcoming procrastination and increasing productivity. So I'll give you a bit more detail on how to do it and why it works. So why break tasks into smaller steps? The first one is because it reduces overwhelm. Large tasks can be intimidating, and the thought of tackling them as a whole can lead to procrastination. Breaking them into smaller steps makes them feel more manageable. The second reason is because it increases clarity. Smaller steps provide clear and specific instructions, making it easier to understand what needs to be done. And the third reason is because it builds momentum. Completing smaller tasks provides a sense of accomplishment and it builds momentum, which can motivate you to keep going. And now, how to break tasks into smaller steps. These are the methods which I use myself and which actually worked. So I'm giving you guys all these tips for free. And in return, all I ask is for the subscribe and go follow me on Instagram. Okay. So the first one is to identify the main task. Like, start by identifying the larger task you want to accomplish. For example, if it's writing a research paper, the main task is write the research paper. Second one is list subtasks. Break down the main task into smaller subtasks or steps. Like, they should be specific and action oriented. Using the research paper example, subtasks might include research the topic, outline the paper, write the introduction, write the literature review, edit and proofread and everything, etc. So the third one is prioritize. Once you have your list of subtasks, prioritize them. Determine which ones need to be done first and which can follow. The fourth one is set milestones. Consider setting milestones for yourself. These are checkpoints that signify progress. For instance, finishing research could be a milestone. The fifth one is use a task list or planner. Write down your subtasks in a to-do list or a planner. This helps you to keep track on what needs to be done and when. The sixth one is focus on one step at a time. When you start working, focus on completing one subtask at a time. Don't worry about the whole project, just the next step. That should be your only focus. By breaking the project into these smaller, manageable steps, you are more likely to make steady progress and ultimately complete the project with less stress and procrastination. Remember, the journey of 1,000 miles begins with a single step. The fourth method is use timers, the Pomodoro technique. Set a timer for 25 minutes to focus solely on your task. When the timer rings, take a 5-minute break. Repeat this process. It is amazing how much you can accomplish in those focused bursts. The Pomodoro technique can be a game changer when it comes to overcoming procrastination and boosting productivity. Let's dive a bit deeper into how you can effectively use this technique in your daily life. Step 1, set the timer for 25 minutes, okay? Grab your phone or a timer. There are actually plenty of Pomodoro apps available out there, and set it for 25 minutes. This is your focused work time. Step 2, work, work, work. During those 25 minutes, give your task your full attention. No multitasking, no distractions, just you and your task. It is amazing how much you can accomplish when you are laser focused. Step 3, take a 5-minute break. When the timer rings after 25 minutes, it is break time. Take a quick 5-minute breather. Stretch, grab a snack, do a mini dance party, whatever refreshes you. Step 4, rinse and repeat. Here is the beauty of Pomodoro technique. You repeat the cycle after every 4 cycles. Take a longer break, maybe 15 or 30 minutes to recharge. Now, coming to why does this technique work? You might wonder why this technique is so effective. Well, it capitalizes our brain's natural rhythm. We can focus intensely for a certain period, but then our concentration wanes. Those 5-minute breaks helps us recharge your brain. The last and the final method is create a distraction-free zone. Designate a specific workspace that is free from distractions. Put your phone on silent, close unnecessary tabs on your computer, and create an environment conducive to work or study. Creating a distraction-free zone is crucial for boosting productivity and focus. So I'll give you a bit more detail on how to go about it. The first one is to select a dedicated workspace. Choose a specific area in your home or office where you will work or study. Ideally, this should be a place where you feel comfortable and can concentrate without being disturbed. The second one is organize your workspace. Keep your workspace tidy and organized. A clutter-free environment can help reduce mental clutter and distractions. The third one, silence your phone. Put your phone on silent mode, or even better, place it in a drawer or a different room while you work. You can also use apps that block distracting notifications during work hours. The fourth one is limit internet tabs. Close unnecessary tabs on your computer or browser. Only keep open the tabs that are directly related to your work. This will minimize the temptation to browse or check social media. The fifth one is use noise-canceling headphones. If you're in a noisy environment, consider using noise-canceling headphones to block out background music or maybe noise. You can also play soothing instrumental music if it helps you concentrate. The sixth one is set clear boundaries. Communicate with family members or roommates about your work or study hours and the importance of not disturbing you during that time. So it will help you more concentrate rather than having your parents or whatever comes into your room all the time during your work or study hours. The seventh one is remove temptations. Keep distracting items out of your workspace. For example, if you're working on a computer, don't have video games or unrelated apps easily accessible. The eighth one, which is one of my favorites and the thing I have been practicing a lot recently, is create a to-do list. Before you start working, make a to-do list with specific tasks and goals for your sessions listed. This helps you stay focused and gives you a sense of accomplishment as you check off some items on the list as you finish them. Ninth one is using productivity tools. Consider using productivity tools and apps that can block certain websites or apps during your work hours. This can be a powerful way to stay on track. The 10th one and the last one is take short breaks. As mentioned before, even in a distraction-free zone, it is essential to take short breaks to recharge. Use techniques like the Pomodoro method to maintain your focus and prevent burnouts. Remember, creating a distraction-free zone is about setting up an environment that supports your productivity and concentration. By implementing these steps which I have shared, you will be better equipped to tackle your task and stay on track without being constantly pulled away by distractions. So that was all about today's episode. I hope you guys loved it and keep your notepad somewhere safe till you hear my voice in the next episode. Or if you want new classes anytime this week, hit the follow button on my Instagram page so that your feed will be blessed with my cute content. And also subscribe to the newsletter to avail exclusive benefits. Until the next episode, this is me, Dia, from the Dia Talks. Ta-da!